Family Day and family business we are doing here today. It's with great privilege we've got folk that have come into the life of the church that have made a commitment of hearing God to say that they want to be members of the life of this church. And if you've been called during the week and you affirm that that's what you have got for you, will you please come to the front? We'd like to pray with you. Those that were addressed, I know who were phoned, Robbie, the folk, if that's you, will you please come to the front? I haven't got the names in front of me, but you were phoned during the week. You would come to the front. And if there's anyone that wasn't here that have come into membership but haven't been prayed for, would you come to the front too, please? Amen. Isn't it wonderful to see what God's doing? He's adding to this family. I want to just say to you folk at the front, welcome. It's good to have you part of this family and what God is doing in your life. And this isn't an answer and question time, but I just have in my heart is that I wanted to just affirm some of the things in your lives. As you come into this family, will you commit to partner with God's family here in the gospel? Amen. Then I ask you, will you follow him and allow him to make you fishers of men? I think that's a promise that he gives to us that he wants to do. Will you continue to love God, your neighbors, and yourself? I think God is working love in our hearts, and we need to continue to do that. The Great Commission, will you continue to make disciples of all men and make them to come and obey Jesus wherever he will send you? And then will you partner with the family of God here and with its leaders? And the question also, God, will you obey the Holy Spirit as he leads you in following Jesus? Will you devote yourself to the Word of God? I think that's a very important part. We were encouraging the prayer meeting. Will you read the Scriptures? Will you study the Scriptures? And will you do what the Scriptures tell you what to do? And then, will you grow into maturity in Christ? Will you not remain as a baby? Will you grow in him? And then the last one, which is a hard one always, will you commit to be faithfully attend the gathering of the saints? Because that's where God wants us to gather. It's not only our own lives, but we gather in this family as saints of God. So what we're going to do, we're going to pray for you. And I'm going to ask the elders and their wives and the leaders to come and lay hands upon you. And we're going to pray a prayer of committal over you as you've committed yourself to serve God. So if you feel in your heart that you want to come and pray for the folk, come and stand in the front. Those that are leaders, come and pray. Come, everyone needs to have their hands laid upon them. I'm going to pray a prayer, and then we're going to just pray for you, and we're going to rejoice. Amen. Everyone got someone. Father, we just thank you for these wonderful people that you've raised up and you've released and brought into this family. And Lord, as they have committed to follow you in this context, in this family here in Modderfontein, Lord, I ask that the plans and the purposes that you have destined for them, Lord, will be fulfilled in and through your church. And Lord, as we see in Acts 1:8, there's an empowering and enabling that comes from you, Holy Spirit, to be a witness for Christ. And I pray for that enabling and that authority and that power to rest on them as individuals in their lives. And Lord, as they stand up to follow you and to do what you're commanding them to do, Holy Spirit, I pray for the outworking of your grace and your mercy and your life in and through them. Lord, may they not only be a blessing to us, but may they be a blessing to this community, to this nation, and the nations of the earth. So I just release you now to fulfill God's purposes and his plans over your lives now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Congratulations. Now you're part of the family. Something's happened in your lives. Let's give a big hand. Let's glorify God for what he's done. God bless you all. And afterwards, will you give him a big hug and congratulate them? This is something wonderful that's taken place in their lives. Amen. I want to continue with some family business before we preach God's word. We're living in trying times, and there are difficulties for some, and God is the God who provides for us. But there's some folk in here, and I'm not here to embarrass them in any way, but we want to stand together as a family. And I'd like Craig and Michael and Patrick to come to the front. They've lost jobs, and they're seeking for employment. And if you want to just come to the front, we want to stand together as a family, and we want to just trust God for provision for you and your families. This is an important thing, what God is doing, and I want you to maybe just extend your hands. Maybe you guys just want to just say what you do and what you're looking for. Where's the mic? So we all know, and if you can help in any way and point them in the right direction, just maybe what you're doing and that God can provide for you.
Hi guys, my name is Michael. I'm in sales, but the Lord has taken me through such an incredible journey the last few years. But I'm looking for something in management and sales, and just trusting Him every day because He is the light. Thank you.
Amen.
Hi there, my name is Craig. I've been in sales most of my life, and I've been working in the brand and signage business. I've never had to look for a job before because I've always been kind of, people have offered me jobs. So I also just trust in the Lord. Thanks.
Hi, my name is Patrick. I'm a transport coordinator or transport controller.
Amen. Okay, let's extend our hands towards them, and we're going to lay hands. Elders, can you just come and put hands upon them? And we're going to pray, and we're going to just trust God. Father, you said that you are the one that provides for the birds of the air. How much more will you provide for us? And Lord, as we bring these men and their families before you, I know, Lord, there's a sense of anxiety, but Lord, we just thank you that as we entrust them to you and we entrust their futures to you, Lord, we thank you for opening up the door of provision for them as they are willing to work. And Lord, will you open up the door where to work, that Lord, that they not only can be blessed, but they can be prospered. And Lord, this will be used to advance your kingdom. So thank you for your grace and your mercy over them. And we speak your peace over them in their hearts and their minds, that Lord, that this would not be something that will take them down, but will be victorious in their lives. So Lord, we trust you. Lean not on our understanding. Acknowledge you, and you make our paths straight now. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Amen. Sure, there's a lot of family business to do today. Just as we've been prayed for Cape Town, this Wednesday, Angus Buckham has called the church to pray at 1 o'clock on the 24th. It's Wednesday. I'm asking you, wherever you are, in your workplace, wherever, that you would stand and pray. Just get together, maybe with fellow believers, and pray for 2 or 3 minutes, or even longer if you can. And let's just trust for that rain as we stand together. God answers our prayers, and He does answer our prayers, especially for rain. Amen. It's a great day, and I'm excited about what we're about to preach. But before we preach, I'd like to pray. Father, we thank you for the word. It's your word, and I want to ask, Lord, as your word is preached today, that, Lord, your word would go out with power. And not only would it go out with power, but be received with power. And, Lord, that your word will bring transformation and renewal to your people. That, Lord, where you need to speak into people's lives through revelation, I pray, Lord, where that transformation needs to take place, that minds would be changed, that hearts would be stirred, and that, Lord, that you would take us into the depth of what you wanting to say to us today as a church today, in Jesus' name. Amen. I've been dealing with the scripture from Romans chapter 14, verse 17. If that's the text that we're looking at, if you were turning your Bibles to Romans chapter 14, verse 17, please. The theme of the message today is Kingdom of Righteousness. And I'm so excited about this because I think there's a lot of confusion when it comes to righteousness and the kingdom of God. And so often we get it confused with an aspect of religion. And so many people have ideas about what Christianity is. And I'm just trusting God that we'll be able to get some insight into this today. I just know on the last day, the world will be judged in righteousness. And we need to know what God has given us. He's imputed righteousness in Christ. But I want to just say there's something of an outworking of righteousness in our lives. And God will test His righteousness in our lives. And we all stand accountable for the outworking of His righteousness in our lives. So Romans chapter 14, verse 17 says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." And then related to that, the Lord Himself spoke about this, about the kingdom of God, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, and I read from the New Living Translation. It says, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. So the context of both these scriptures, I think important that we need to understand. The context of Romans 14 was Paul writing to the church in Rome, and like all of us as Christians, sometimes we get a bit muddled. We don't always understand the things of living and the things of God, and they were getting uptight with one another about a day. They were getting to a place where they were concerned, which is the right day, which is the Lord's day? And some were saying it's a Saturday, and some were saying it was a Sunday. And Paul was looking at this and thinking, my goodness, they've got it all wrong. And then that he comes and he says to them, also they were in a place where they grew up in Rome, and there was paganism that was practiced in Rome, and people used to bring sacrifices to the idols there. And then some were saying, no, you can't eat the meat and the food sacrificed to idols. And Paul comes and he says this incredible statement. He says, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to expound upon that. In Matthew chapter 6:33, the context of that too, Jesus speaking to his disciples, is about the area of providence and worry. And God knows we have a tendency in our humanness to worry and to be anxious. And Jesus comes and he says, it's not about matter of eating and drinking or clothing. It's about first seeking the kingdom of God and to live righteously. And then you'll have all these things added to us. So I really do believe that the Lord wants to share a Holy Spirit secret to us. Is how do we live here on earth? And I believe this portion of scripture, we've been talking about the peace and the joy. But today we're going to be dealing into this whole aspect of God's righteousness. So firstly, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. This is one of the greatest messages in the New Testament. We have confusion about the gospel of Christ. Many have sought him in different ways, and Jesus comes and he clearly says to us, we must seek his kingdom first and live righteously. And today I think the gospel that has been preached out there hasn't always been this truth. It's been a truth that comes out and says, what can God do for you? Even though he does everything for us, there's something that he expects of us, because there's a day of reckoning for every one of us. We will stand before the throne of grace. There's two judgment days that will take place. We will be judged as Christians, and the great white throne, when all of mankind will be judged, and we will all stand before God, and we will be judged how we lived on earth. And this is sobering for me and to you, is that God, it even says that you'll behold account for every single word that you have spoken. Now, I don't want you to get into a place of condemnation about it, because there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus, but we need to be stirred up for what God is actually saying to us, and how does he want us to live on earth in the Holy Spirit. And I come with good news today, because I really believe God wants us to understand his kingdom and the authority of his kingdom and the power of his kingdom that he's given to us in his righteousness and his joy and his peace. In Luke chapter 17, verse 21, it says, everyone was asking, where is the kingdom of God? And Luke says here, he says, the kingdom of God is within you. And we've got to come to a realization, this incredible transaction that took place on the cross, and the transaction that took place when you believed upon the Lord Jesus and you extended faith towards him, a transaction took place in the heavens and a transaction took place in your heart. God put himself within you and his kingdom came to live within you. You were born again. You were made a new person. You are a new creation, as the scriptures declares. And the Bible says you have a new mind. You have the mind of Christ. And yes, we realize there's a reality that we've got to train this mind of Christ that we have received. Because remember, the mind of Christ is a part of the spiritual entity of who you are. And that's why we need to be trained through the Word of God. And as the Word of God comes and renews this mind that he's given us, we can start to live the way that God wants us to understand him and explore him and walk with him. You see, the kingdom of God is absolutely different to the other kingdoms that we see in this world. In our world that we live today, we only maybe can comprehend kingdoms as monarchies, But there are spiritual kingdoms of darkness that are out there. And as we are alive in this world, we see the darkness that's pervaded the world. We see the different religions that are out there that have led people astray from God. But we belong to a kingdom that is absolutely different. And God has come and put his stamp of approval upon it. You see, our kingdom, and I reiterate again, we have come into this kingdom through new birth, and we've come into this kingdom through this new mind that is placed within us. You see, when Jesus, my next point is when Jesus came and he died on the cross, these are some of the points that he didn't come for. He didn't come for religion. He came to set us free. You see, religion is a system of worship. And we got to be very careful as Christians that we can get caught up in a system of worship. And it came through the prayer meeting today. God seeks our hearts. Because sometimes we can get into a system, and we are all prone to that because we all love to get into a routine. And especially when it comes to serving God, we can actually be into this routine. And sometimes it can be misconstrued as a system of worship that doesn't connect with God from the heart. And you know, folk out there today, there is religion that has been practiced out there today. Men are and women are attending church today. They might even be some of you here today. You're attending church and you think you're in the right place, but sir and ma'am, you are not born again. And you might have a system of worship in your heart, and the word says is that you're religious. You do not have the kingdom of God. And that is not what God came for. Jesus came to bring us truth. And that truth to set us free. I'm going to say something hard here today. Sometimes I think what's happened to the church through denomination has been a curse to Christianity. Because the church is meant to be one. She is meant to stand together. It's meant to be a place of freedom. You see, denominationalism or religion has come that the building has become more important than God himself. People prize the place where they come to work, but they put their investment into a building. Even though a building is important, we've got to be very careful. The ceremonies and the form have become more important than the heart. I want to just say we've got to be very careful because the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. God's kingdom has come to set us free. Secondly, Christ never came for our morality. The world will say is that yes, there needs to be a morality, and yes, there is a morality that comes with the kingdom of God. But it's not about morality of doing right and wrong. We've got to find what God has done in our hearts. You see, we've seen scattered through history, and we've seen what we have grown up in, the morality that man has imposed, seemingly which is right. And we see public school religion where men have been touched by morality, that they've come to know what ethics are and morality are, but there is no joy and there's no peace and there's no understanding of what the benefits of the kingdom of God are. The Victorians came and they added rules and regulations to men. They came and they put a stamp on Christianity that never brought the freedom that's found in the Holy Spirit. And we got to be aware of these things, that the kingdom of God that has come in truth is not about just attendance and duties and do's and don'ts, but there's a reality that God wants us to experience. So the next point is, what is the kingdom of God? So firstly, the kingdom of God is something that is absolutely enormous, that fills the whole universe. It is grand, it's enormous, it's not small, it's vast, it's God himself. And we need to understand that this is what Jesus ushered in when he preached on earth. He said, the kingdom of heaven is about to come. And then when he died, he ushered in the kingdom of God. And I want to say that if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a citizen of the kingdom of God. It is yours. You've received it as an inheritance, and you need to live according to the kingdom of God. See, the kingdom of God ushers in the next point, ushers in righteousness. It comes like a flood. For what takes place in the throne room of God between the Trinity, between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, is to be ushered in onto earth. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And what takes place in the throne room of grace is righteousness. What is right? God is a holy, eternal, righteous God. He expects to take place here on earth as he comes to live in our hearts. We cannot get our minds around it, but we need to know this is a reality that he has for every one of us. We need to be living out this reality of His righteousness in our hearts and in our lives. See, righteousness is not the minute details and matters of the law, the do's and don'ts. We've got to be looking up to heaven and seeing who He is. Righteousness is not our morality of how we should live, but really the outworking of the eternal God who lives inside our hearts, and He's working in and through us as we are led by the Holy Spirit. Righteousness is a relationship with God. That is what matters. You see, what has happened in the world today is that the darkness that has pervaded, they do not see a God who is righteous. The world walks in fearlessness of a God who is righteous and almighty, and He is the judge. Can I say, even the church today, even though we are not judged, we are found righteous in Christ, walks with no fear of God. And I'm telling you today, God wants to bring fear back on our hearts. Go and read the Old Testament. Go and read the Psalms. A fear of God needs to come back to our hearts. A righteous fear of understanding that He's a righteous Father, that He's God Almighty, and that He will judge, and His ways are right. You see, what's happening in the world today, men are doing whatever they decide to do. They don't look to God, and they don't look to His ways, and they don't look to His word and His scriptures and say, that is the way that we should walk. We will do it our way. And pride has got in the way, and we see a world in trouble. And I want to say to you, brother and sister in Christ, you are the answer. God has done something in your heart, and you are there to represent Him and to bring righteousness back to this world. We have a nation in trouble because of unrighteousness. We have prayed for righteousness, and God is doing something, and we must continue to pray and believe and trust God that the evidence of His righteousness within us will be pervade and come and take hold of our nation and our lives. It may even be in your family, where God's ways of righteousness are not standing up, and you've allowed the darkness of the world to come in and pervade your own family. I want to say we need to stand for His righteousness. You will be persecuted for righteousness. When you stand up for what is right, the world will not accept it. Not only the world, but the devil himself. And I come with this message today is that what God has done in your heart, He wants to be a reality in our lives. And there's got to be change. Jesus didn't die on a cross just to give you salvation. Yes, He gave you that. But He came there to be an outworking of Him. What is in heaven will be on earth. That is not weakness. That's the fullness of a holy God. And He wants to bring that through you and I. And I humble myself before God, Lord, that You want to use me as an instrument of who You are. And I want to say to you, you are that. How's this dark world going to find out who God really is if we do not stand up for who He is? And I don't bring a message of condemnation when you look at your life and you come and you say, all these rules and regulations, this is how I should live or shouldn't be doing. The old way would say, you can't go to the movies, you can't wear makeup, and you can't do those things. I don't believe that's righteousness. When God grips your heart, and you love Him, and you want to know who He is, and you realize who He is, you want to stand up and say, this is who Almighty God is, through His love, and through His grace, and His mercy, and you will change those around you because who you represent. In your families, in your workplace, there's something that's got to transpire. I know I'm getting ahead of myself here, but you know, our actions have to be in line with God's righteousness that's in our hearts. You know, the laws of the land that we've been placed in, God ordained that we would have a government over us and will rule over us, and we need to submit to them. And we need to do what is right. And we need to obey what's been instituted through acts of parliament. We need to be obeying in our nation. Even how they might be doing things unrighteous, we need to obey. Because we need to be citizens of heaven here on earth and carry the testimony of Jesus in our hearts. You see, this message of righteousness is an incredible truth that we all need to know. In the ledger of heaven, it's a counting term where God keeps record of things that take place in our life. As much as he keeps a record of the events of your life and what's happened, he evaluates it from the aspect of righteousness. Was that righteous in his sight? And you know what? We bring filthy rags before the Lord. And our good works are seen as unrighteousness before him. And this is the good news of the cross, that Jesus recognized there was nothing good in us. We think we've got good and we think we can do it all, but Jesus recognized that we had nothing good in us. And when he went to the cross and he said, "Your unrighteousness for my righteousness." And the big English word, it says we impute our unrighteousness for him, and he imputes his righteousness to us. So all your sin, all your foulness and your darkness that is considered as unrighteousness is taken away from you, and you receive his righteousness. This is the miracle of the cross and takes place in your life. You might not have a cognitive flow and understanding in your heart what it is that's taken place, but I want to say this is what the scripture declares. You have taken away your guilt and the pain and the authority of sin in your life, and you've received salvation. That salvation includes his righteousness. And you know, the benefits of the righteousness that you've received, you've become a child of God. And God, as much as we did on Wednesday night and we went through the names of who God is in the Old Testament, God Almighty becomes our Father. He becomes Abba Father. The righteous one becomes our Abba Father. And because of Christ's righteousness, you have freedom of access to the throne room of grace. Isn't that incredible? I cannot get to meet the president of South Africa to get an audience with him, but we have an audience with God Almighty. Every one of you, because of what Jesus did on that cross. And do not discount that, because when you open your mouth and you call upon his name, Father, he sees you in Christ and he says, "Yes, my daughter, my son." And that's the access and the power of his righteousness that God has opened up. Not only your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but you're his child, and he hears you, and he loves you, and he gives you this incredible opportunity to come and talk to him, to worship him, and to speak to him, and he comes to answer your requests. That is incredible. As I said last week, is that God hears the prayers of the unbeliever, but he has your full attention. It's like your child. When your child is playing in the garden and starts to scream, you know, that's my child. It might be some other child that is screaming, and yes, you're concerned, and you'll go and look. But it's when your child is there, you run to assist immediately. And this is your Heavenly Father, and this is the message that he has for you today. You have freedom of access to come into his presence and to be in a place of freedom, not in condemnation. That's one of the greatest messages that this righteousness brings. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And you see, this righteousness deals with your past and your guilt. We are all sinners saved by grace. You have a past. I have a past. I have skeletons. You have skeletons. The devil comes to keep you in your past and tries to remind you of what you've done. And even if you've come into Christ, and remind you of your past, and he will keep you living in your past. This message of righteousness, when Jesus has canceled the rights of your unrighteousness, whatever you've done before Christ and in Christ, you are free. And God does not point a finger at you and does not say to you, you are worthless. You are worthy in him now. This is the good news that God has brought to us. This is the good news that he said, you are worthy to stand before him. But then he brings you into this incredible relationship with him. He brings you into the intimacy of fellowship with him, with the Father and the Son, that you can start to live in Christ. You see, God brings us to a place that we are in right standing with him, and now we can start to live right. As Matthew chapter 6 says, living righteously. And I come to encourage you today, we need to live righteously and not religiously. Again, living righteously in the Holy Spirit, we have been imputed with righteousness. We are right with God. This is an amazing fact. This is God's work in your life. We need to accept it, and we need to start living it. It's no longer a matter of rules and regulations, but it's living under the Spirit of God, living under his direction and his leading, and not mixing this with the outworking of what we think is right, but doing according to what he would teach us through his word. You see, we are in right standing with God, and now we can do right living. And the encouragement is that our right living is very important to God, because that is where we're going to get our reward for our right living subsequently coming to Christ. There was a life before and we've been redeemed. Now there's a life that we live in Christ. And I want to just say to you today, don't mix grace with right living. There was a time where this hyper grace was being preached and many people were living by grace. It's the grace of God, and I don't need to do this and I don't need to do that. You don't need to do anything. But righteous living causes us want to live right before God and before man. And I want to just say the grace of God stirs us up that we want to please God in all that we do. And I want to encourage you today is that God wants to challenge us in this area of living righteously before him. So I bring some matters before you that I consider the outworking of righteousness as we live out our lives in Christ. Firstly, I bring the matter of not being unequally yoked. When you've come out of darkness and you've come into his kingdom, God made you righteous. And I wanted to say is the decisions that we have in our intimacy and our relationship with one another, and especially when it comes to marriage, the Bible says do not be married to unrighteousness. It's righteous and righteous. Do not be unequally yoked. Because, you know, when you come into covenant of marriage and there's an unequal covenant, it works, but it doesn't. And if you have that right now before that, I say to the unmarried here, be wise. Make sure you only get married those who are in Christ. To those that have been yoked incorrectly, God's grace is abounds. And go and read 1 Corinthians 7. Do not get divorced. Live that out and he'll work it out, and keep praying for your spouse, because God can work his miracle in their lives and can transform them and bring them into an understanding of who he is, and that you can walk in the fullness of his holiness. You see, I also want to just say is that this unequally yoked, that God yoked us to be male and female relationships. He created Adam and Eve. He didn't create this world that we see at the moment with this homosexuality that's taking place. We need to stand up for what is right. This whole thing of transgender and gender identification, we are not confused. And I'm not saying that we need to stand from the rooftops and be shouting this thing, but when the opportunities come, we need to say, no, that's wrong. God never created that way. And yes, we are going to pick up flack for that. The rest of the world, in the Western world today, it's a big thing, where this whole thing of gender is becoming such a big issue. And church, we need to stand for what is right. We don't come with a heart of condemnation because they do not understand the truth. We come with God what is right. We don't point a finger, but I'm just saying God never created Adam and Steve together. God created us to be male and female in our relationships. And then also, I just as a word of encouragement to those that are businessmen, you need to be wise at who you partner with. You know what? You don't always have to partner in business with Christians, with the righteous, but be wise. I've seen people have said, we're just going to do it with Christians and been burnt because the people in those relationships haven't always been mature enough to deal with it. So be wise and hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us. Another aspect of our righteousness is the way we speak. We're all guilty. We are all guilty of this. The Bible says that we need to be quick to listen and slow to speak and not to be hasty. And so often we get so hasty with the way we speak. We speak those words that actually bring death and not life. And I want to encourage you that we need to speak words that are wisdom. We've got to speak words as we stand accountable in the presence of God, that we're not grieving God, the Holy Spirit. And we can grieve by the very words that we speak. I know I need to catch myself, and we need to be very wise in these things. These are the things of living right. You know, you might get into the company of others, and can I just say in the workplace, the area of gossip is such a real thing, and where they slander, and you standing there, and you're part of that, and you don't say anything, but you say, you're actually tantamount agreeing with them, and you're adding your stamp of approval to those things. I want to just say to you, if in that situation, walk away and don't be caught up in how the world actually operates. We don't slander, we don't gossip. And if you are, ask God to help you and to change that, because we've got to think before we speak. Let your words be few and rather wise. There's error in many words. So be careful in the way you speak, because your words will give away, because what comes out of the heart will determine what you're producing. Jesus said a tree is seen by its fruit. And yes, the fruit is its actions, but a lot of the times the fruit is the very words that we speak. You know, I would hate to be a politician, because I think they have a great problem because they don't speak the truth. They speak a lot of lies and empty promises, because they're trying to encourage people to vote for them. And we cannot stand like that. We have got to speak the truth in love. And if you can't speak the truth in love, keep quiet until God can deal with your heart, that you can speak the life of God into those situations. Another area that we need to live righteously is in our sexual conduct. Sexual conduct is in marriage, between man and a woman, and even in marriage, that needs to be pure. That needs to be pure. And I say to the unmarried here today, and I warn you, it's not to be before marriage. The Bible is very clear and says that is fornication. It is not right. Whatever your sexual desires are and what are your passions that are driving you, you cannot submit to this thing. It's not God's way. And if you have fallen, I say to you today, there's a way of forgiveness. But today, stop it. Stop it. We've got to guard our hearts and our lives, and we do not get into compromising situations and fall into a place where we will break this incredible act of intimacy that should be in marriage. To the married, I say, do not fall into adultery. Adultery is prevalent in the church. And if you are compromising, and if you're in this place today and you are compromising with the opposite sex, and that's not your husband and that's not your wife, stop it. Stop it. Run to God and run to those you trust and deal with that thing. See, God's way is not to shack up and cohabit and have a common law wife or husband. We must do what is right. And I want to tell you, mothers and fathers, don't let your children cohabit. Let them keep themselves pure before their wedding day. that'll be a celebration of God's goodness and God's grace. We've got to stand for what is right. We can't hide behind what God's word says and say, oh, it's my children, I've got the grace. No, God is righteous. And we have authority in that righteousness to do what is right. Another aspect of righteousness is pay your taxes. God has given us a government. Under Jesus, it was Caesar. And there were taxes that were imposed by Caesar, and the Lord's words himself were given to Caesar what is Caesar's. And I know you might say, I cannot come out on my outworking of my monies. I want to just say, give what God is telling you to do. And you know, I don't want to get into this debate, whether it's right or wrong. Pay your e-toll. No, I'm serious. You're fighting this thing, and you think you're right. The government has instituted it. Pay it. Go and register, get that tag, and pay it. It's right. You might be opening up the door to the devil in your life. Keep the regulations of the land. In your transactions, pay your VAT. Do what is right. Honor your creditors. Then you'll be honored when you have debtors and you will be paid. The next aspect is the drinking of alcohol, the matter of eating and drinking. Is it right and wrong? I'm not here to discuss that today. But I'm here to say to you, don't get drunk. And you know that. And if you're getting drunk, that's a disgrace because you do not represent the kingdom of God. You see, that's gluttony and that's not moderation. The other aspect is substance abuse. I know there's many substances that we abuse. And yes, we've all got a life before and we were subject to those things. But ask God to set you free from those things. We need to do what's right. Remember, this is not rules and regulations. This is doing what's right in God's life. And then I want to just cover this area of not being religious. And hear my heart, I'm not here to point finger. But I want to just say this aspect of religious, it's not them and us, it's us. I'm looking at us. It's not them out there that are practicing religion, it's us. And I want to just say today, when Jesus' greatest battles that he had on earth was dealing with Pharisees. And why were Pharisees a problem? Pharisees were good men. They prayed. They attended all the meetings. They were regarded as good men in society. They did, everything was good. You could see that they were good men. But you know what they were doing? Their hearts were away from God, and they were practicing the traditions of men. They weren't practicing the truth of God's word. And their hearts were far away from God. And you know what? You and I can become Pharisees. We can get to that place where we judge people by their actions and don't see their hearts. And even ourselves and the way we live, that our hearts are not in the right place with God. And I want to just say to you, we've got to get our hearts right before God, that we will not become pharisaical, that we will not be in a place that we have a form of religion, that we have a heart after God. Jesus says he comes to look at our hearts. It came out in the prayer meeting this morning again. God looks at our hearts. And you know what's in your heart. And I want to believe that you will not be in a place that you'll be pharisaical. Do you know that even amongst us, the charismatics and the Pentecostal and the evangelicals, we can be religious in our outworking? I don't have all the details of how to work it out, but I just know God wants to challenge us, even in how we practice our life here amongst church on the way. Are we being religious at times? We've got to be real. And we've got to see the evidence of God himself in our lives. You see, there are men and women that are practicing religion and they don't have life. And they don't have life too abundantly. A good friend of mine and ours that was part of us for many years, who went to be with the Lord a few years ago, Eric Downey, with tears in his eyes, He said, Mark, at the age of 55, I had been attending church all my life, and I wasn't born again. I had a form of righteousness, and I was doing that. And you know, we're not part of, in a sense, that structure, but you know, you might be here today, and you practice Sunday Christianity. You are great today, and you have a testimony of Jesus today, but you walk out that door, and you're into your lifestyle out there, and you practice the rest of your life for the week, and you do not carry a testimony of Jesus. That is not what God wants. That is being religious. God wants our hearts. And I want to just say, we've got to be ensured that we do not practice the traditions of our own hearts. We need to be practicing the Word of God. We mustn't be caught up in an order of service. And you know, we've had to deal over the years that our service, we want to be led by the Lord. The guys that worship team, I want to just commend the worship team. They practice. They wait on the Holy Spirit. They give us the songs. We come together. We pray. We trust God for things. The order of service must be different. It's not an order that needs to be this week the same. It needs to be changed. And sometimes it will be quiet. And sometimes it will be loud. We need to be led by the Spirit of God. We've got to be careful that we do not get caught up into rules and regulations. We mustn't be caught up into a dress code. We must be caught up that our hearts are pure before the Lord. So I bring this message of the kingdom of righteousness. And I state to you today, and I state to you that you are in right standing with God if you confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But now, live rightly. Live rightly in the Holy Spirit. Go and make a difference out there as you have the righteousness of God in your heart. I've just given you some things with my perspective on right living, but there are many other things in right living that you need to do. And I want to just say, do as the Holy Spirit would lead you and make an impact for righteousness. Hunger, as the Beatitude says, hunger and thirst for righteousness. Look at your family, look at your own life, look at your work environment. Do things right. And I can't tell you what is right. God knows what is right, and He will lead you into all righteousness. Can I pray with you? Heavenly Father, you have challenged us. It's not our nature to walk in righteousness, but you have given us your righteousness, and for that we are so grateful and we rejoice in that. But Father, as we need to live our lives before you, and if you've imputed your righteousness to our lives, will you transform our thinking and our minds that, Lord, our lives would change and we would represent you well. And if there's error in our lives in respect of your righteousness, Father, will you forgive us? Will you cleanse us of all that unrighteousness through the blood of Jesus? And set us right before you that we can make right decisions today and live for you and glorify you and be pleasing to you in all that we do. So take us by the hand and lead us, Holy Spirit, into this fullness of Christ's righteousness now. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to just say, if you've been challenged today, don't leave this. Don't leave this. Do something about it. And it might mean in your quiet time or at home and you're with another person, but pray into this thing and may your life be changed because of what God has done for you. God bless you all. If you need prayer, we're here at the front. The water baptism is taking place, and come and join us for a cup of coffee. And those that are visitors, great to have you. Come and get your free cappuccino. God bless you all. Amen. Thank you.